Welcome to the King of All Kings podcast.
J Street Vibes.
Street Vibes.
Hosted by Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones.
J Street Vibes back here in your, I was going to say in your ear, but or in your airways. It really doesn't matter. You're listening to J Street one way or another. You're listening to J Street Vibes. Jason Jones of The Athletic. Kenny Caraway of D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. And, you know, myself and Damian, we talk about this often. This was phenomenal. This was an unbelievable season, an unbelievable year. So many good times, so many good vibes. Everything was awesome, right? They got to the playoffs. We got to see them win at home a couple of times, win a big road game where we'll talk about it later on down the road. I know, you know, other teams talk about championships, all this other stuff. It's the Sacramento Kings. I think game six might have been the biggest win in franchise history. I'm not even going to lie to you. I mean, everything considered, pound for pound, what they had in front of them, what they had to do, game six might have been the best win in franchise history. So we got all that, and we talk about it all the time. Enjoy this. We would tell people during the season, enjoy this. Enjoy what you just experienced as Kings fans. Enjoy what just happened as Kings fans. Because it will never be like this again. Because unlike this year, moving forward, there's going to be this thing called expectations. And if they lose in seven games in the first round next year, I guarantee you, I'm not going to be as pleasant as I am today. Like we can only feel this one time. It's like everything else in life, your first time, you never forget it, right? There's a lot of people's first time. Everything's awesome right now. This is the last time it will ever be like this. Next year, it's about business and it's about moving forward. So off the top of your head, the very first thing that comes to your mind, what do they need roster-wise to move forward and take another step?
Physicality on the front court. Physicality. I think they need another rebounder, a guy who can help under there. Some length. I just think right now, teams that are big and physical can pose too many problems to them. So they need some more size. I mean, you know, can you find a 7-footer who you can give real minutes to? You know, can you find someone who can play minutes at the four who's not a not a Harrison Barnes? You know, a legit 6'10", 6'11" guy to help you who can, you know, space the floor, still play defense. You know, basically, can you get a Chemezi type player who can get minutes? Hmm. You know, so, you know, I think that, to me, that's what jumps out.
Keegan can be that? You think Keegan can be that?
I don't know. Maybe Keegan's a three.
See, that's the thing about it. I don't, if you ask me right now, I'd say he's a four. I think they hope that he can be a three. I don't know if he has that type of mobility to be a three. He's showed, but there are a lot of times when I looked at him this year and I was like, there's no way he could be a three. He gets abused on the perimeter. And then as the season went along and he stopped, you know, he got through that rookie year and stuff like that, I started to see flashes. I was like, you know, if you get Austin with an NBA, you know, training staff and get his body right and get his foot – I can see it. If I squint really hard, I can see Keegan Murray at the three. So I don't know. I don't know if he – right now I'd say he's a four, but I think they're hoping, and to get what you're talking about, they would probably need him to be a three.
He's got a rebound on a whole lot better. Because they need that. That's a big area they need help. I think another rebounder would help them defensively and get their offense jump started. So maybe that's just a matter of prioritizing where you put him and whatnot. But as I watched him just get killed on the glass in that second half, I'm like, yeah, they need somebody who can help in that area. And just some some more size on the perimeter. I mean, you can never have too much of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can, you know, but to me, if I'm prioritizing things, I'm trying to get me a, you know, he had to be a superstar, but a Jared Vanderbilt type. Maybe you find a, you know, McDaniels type, one of the McDaniels types, you know, where he's not like your traditional bruising four, you know, but he's, like I said, he's got length. He can, you know, he can do things and have some versatility defensively. I just think that's going to be the big area if I'm them, just finding some guys who can help you defensively, you know, three and D guys.
So here's the deal. Here's the conundrum. If you're bringing in that type of guy, I think you're moving on from Harrison Barnes. Because where's he going to play?
Very possibly, unless you draft that guy.
Yeah.
You know, unless you trade for that guy, you know, but they're going to have, you know, it depends on what you think about Harrison. I mean, based on the minutes that Mike Brown played him in game 7, those aren't the minutes you give to a guy that you think is pivotal to your season. I mean,
would you bring back Harrison? Say Harrison at 3 years, $15 million a year.
That's a very team friendly deal. I mean, I'd have no problem with that.
$17 million a year.
Yeah, that's counting pennies, relatively speaking. At that point,
I agree.
You know, I mean, that wouldn't be a crazy deal. I don't know what other guys around the league are getting. You know,
what if you could get Kuzma on the same deal?
Well, you're not getting Kuzma on the same deal.
You think Kuzma making $20 million a year?
Yeah.
What if you could get, here's a number, there's a guy that I keep thinking about that I really like. What if you could get Cam Johnson on the same type of deal, maybe even cheaper?
I like Cam.
I do too.
Cam's younger. But see, the way the NBA free agency is, a lot of times those guys never actually, is Cam going to be restricted?
Yeah, Cam, I think he's unrestricted. And he said something earlier, and like when he got traded, to Brooklyn a couple of weeks later, he's like, yeah, I'm not really tripping. I'm only going to be here for a couple of weeks. So, so I think he's going to be testing free agency somewhat.
The only thing is a lot of times guys like that will break the bank sometime. So I just don't know, you know, what's, you know, kind of what the, you know, what the plan is. It's tough to say because the playoffs are still going on. And you don't know, you know, and so, you know, there's going to be rumors about what's going to happen. And I think Brooklyn is going to be inclined to want to hold on to him just because, you know, they need some bodies. And
well, they got a bunch of Cam Johns. They got Bridges, Finney Smith. They got a bunch of guys like that.
So I mean, do you look at a sign and trade with a guy like that? You know,
he's a restricted free agent, by the way.
Yeah, and that makes it tricky. That makes it tricky because generally, I can't think of the last time a guy, well, maybe Bogdanovich was the last guy who was a restricted free agent and his team didn't match. Yeah. I can't think of many guys who don't get matched.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to get creative. You never know what's out there. I mean, no one saw the Kevin Herter deal coming.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's a guy out there.
Kelly Oubre?
I've always liked Kelly Oubre.
I do too. I don't know if I like him more than Harrison. I think he'd be cheaper than Harrison, but.
There are going to be some options out there, I think. And then you got to kind of see what happens with some of the other teams. I think if Phoenix wants to move on from Ayton, and then now there's going to you got multiple teams moving parts around. Maybe they attach themselves to a 3-4 team deal, and that's how they get another guy. You know, what if Minnesota decides to trade Karl Anthony Towns or tries to move Gobert again? You know, who knows what the Clippers are going to do? You know, a guy like Nick Batum would be good for the Kings.
Yeah.
You know, so I want someone a little younger.
I like the Kelly Oubre, Cam Johnson.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. I haven't talked to Monty in a while. I just don't know how much younger, how many more young guys. I mean, they've got a young core. I mean,
free agent.
Oh, that'd be great for the Kicks. Go for it.
There was a time when I would have jumped it. I used to like Dylan Brooks.
That'd be interesting.
He progressed as a player.
Then, yeah, the joke in the internet is that the Shanghai Sharks are interested. They said Dylan's phone is getting blown up by unknown numbers in the Philippines. He doesn't realize this is meant for Dylan. You know, but I mean, there's going to be, I think, you know, and when I watch them in the postseason, I think they need, I don't say this to be mean, they need a couple more adults. Maybe a couple of vets who have been around. You look at how the Warriors run when they got 9-9. I'm not comparing the Kings to the Warriors who won champion, but I'm saying, look at their runs. They added guys like a David West, you know, a Sean Livingston who could play a role, but he was an adult.
Yeah.
You know, a Barbosa who's obviously now a Kings assistant, but you know, you look at the good teams that win, they add guys like that. You know, maybe not four of them, but you get one here or there. Like, who wanted, yeah, last year with the Warriors, they had their guys, but the year before Milwaukee, they, you know, they've got some adults on the team. The Lakers had some adults on the team. You just keep going back. Toronto had a couple of, you know, they had Kawhi, you know, but they have to, you got to get, I just think they would benefit from, like I said, not necessarily Nick Batum, but got a couple of guys like that, some guys who have been around who can still contribute, you know, like higher level Dellavedova types, like guys who can actually be in the rotation, like adults who can actually still get on the court and help you.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled to what's going on this offseason for the Kings. And once again, Jason, man, just a great season. Appreciate you getting back on here with me, man. And we getting back at this J Street Vibes, man. You got a lot you're working on right now, man. What's going on right now, man? What can we be looking for?
Well, I'm supposed to be off this week, but I still got to do some work. But I got some stuff coming up for Mother's Day.
No,
some coming up. Yeah, I'm working on some more shoe stuff. Got a couple of interviews lined up with some big names next week. So I don't want
to
say
Kyrie yesterday at the Golden One Center.
I saw him. I didn't talk to him. I mean,
you talked to Rich Paul. All the stars are out.
Yeah, I talked to Rich. Wow. Yeah, I know Rich for a little bit. You know, remember he had Ben McLemore back in the day.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You know, and Rich got guys.
Did you talk to John Rich and Kyle Shanahan?
No. I didn't even see them. And
they're sitting right behind Kyrie.
Oh, I would have asked them, you know, so what you going to do with that quarterback you give up all those picks for?
Chill. Nothing. As you can see, all those rumors and innuendos all weekend were about nothing. They were never trading them. Stop it. Trey Lance is starting week one.
No, he's not, but okay.
Stop it. Stop it.
You don't believe that.
He's starting to be. Who else is going to start? It ain't going to be Sam Darnold. It's going to be Trey Lance. Come on, stop playing. If Brock Purdy was healthy, I would start Brock Purdy, but he's not going to be healthy.
Brock Purdy's not healthy. I would just love for Sam Darnold to start week one just so I could laugh at all the Niner fans. You know how
it ain't happening. Trey Lance is starting. It's all good.
Trey Lance is starting the year 0-1.
Don't be disrespectful. Really, don't be disrespectful to the young man.
Well, what happened last year? What happened last year when he started?
Yeah, they started 0-1 last year. It ain't happening this year. Well, I don't even know what the schedule is, but it ain't happening.
Like, I don't know who they're playing, but they're going to win. That's okay, you know. They just keep your mans off the internet. They said the man, my mans, look like the Lifetime version of Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, damn.
I mean, he does have to make a decision soon. I can't say that about the young fellow. You're going to have to make a decision.
The decision has been made. He has not accepted the decision. He's fighting it like Kareem was in 86. You know, he won't accept what the Lord is doing. The Lord is giving him a sign. I mean, when you're getting an extra large widow's peak lined up, the Lord is focused. Oh,
damn, man, he's too young for that, man. But trust me, I know. I was like 23 when I did mine, man. I was a youngin' too.
I was 42, 47. Bless. Well, I mean, he could be Derek White, you know.
Oh, well.
That headband covers up. My God.
Man. Come on, what are we doing here, man? That headband ain't fooling nobody, man.
My man got a headband now. It's a towel. It's just tied in the back. Even LeBron's impressed by that man's headband. LeBron, like, I didn't have one of them. Dang. What is that?
Oh, man.
He went to the presser and got roasted. Oh, Derek White.
Oh, man. But, hey, man, great Kings season. We're going to be here throughout the offseason, man, as we try and see if the Kings can do what they got to do to get back, man. So we'll be here. We'll have a couple additions coming soon. You guys will hear about that a little bit, man, and we'll be up in here. But until then, man, Jason Jones, Kenny Caraway, J Street Vibes, y'all be good. Peace.